for some football.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Welcome to the FTN DataCast, the fantasy football podcast where data drives the discussion. Here are your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer and Tyler Lochner.
Welcome back. This is the FTN DataCast, presented, of course, by the FTN Network. Adam Pfeiffer, Tyler Lochner with you on Monday, August the 8th. We have preseason football this week. We had the Hall of Fame game last week. Josh Jacobs is still getting carries, I heard. madness, the NFL season is just about to start. We have to finish these team previews, and with that, we continue the NFC South with a look at the New Orleans Saints, who will be coached by not Sean Payton for the first time in almost, what, two decades? Tyler, what do you think about this team going into 2022, and what are your thoughts on the Hall of Fame game and the fact that we have preseason football coming up?
Dude, first of all, Josh Jacobs catching a stray from Adam off the rip. Wow.
I mean, to be fair, like, the running backs played.
They did. I love that football's back. I mean, how could I not? Even the Hall of Fame game was fun to see, just like actual football. It was horrible, as usual, but it's fun. I like preseason football. It does seem like week one, like, more and more starters are not going to play, which is a little interesting to me because, like, there's only three preseason games now, but whatever. It's the way it is. And in terms of the Saints, they have, like, some of the cheapest star players that you can find. I know we're going to talk about this. And they actually really interest me, especially with LASIK Jameis. I think they could be, like, a little bit of a sneaky team. None of their players are expensive. So I guess let's get into it.
Yeah, like, I'm in the PA area, so I'm friends with a ton of Eagles fans, and they're like excited because they have the Eagles have the Saints first round pick this or next season, and I'm like, it's cool, but like, I don't think they think the Saints are going to be like bad, and I'm like, they're really not. But yeah, I mean, Sean Payton retired. He was with the Saints for what, since 2005. 2006. Yeah, dude. So,
long time.
For a team that's losing not just a head coach, but a, you know, one of the longest tenured head coaches in football, the Saints really might not look that different, right? Because Dennis Allen's the head coach, but he's been the defensive coordinator since, what, 2015. And then you have Pete Carmichael, the offensive coordinator, who's actually been the offensive coordinator since 2009. It's just he didn't call plays very often. But I would imagine the scheme and the system is pretty similar to what it's been, right? Getting the ball out fast. I understand Drew Brees isn't there anymore, but like with Pete Carmichael, I do think the offense will look pretty similar to what we've seen from Sean Payton's offenses over the years. But let's start with Jameis Winston, because Jameis Winston before the injury last season was really good. I mean,
really efficient.
Yeah, he, like, obviously a smaller sample size, because not only did he have the week one game where he had like four or five touchdowns on 18, 19 passing attempts. But then the last play of his season, where he tore his ACL, he tore his ACL while throwing like a 50-yard touchdown pass. So that even added to the efficiency on a smaller sample size. But he led all quarterbacks in fantasy points per drop back last season. Again, not going to be repeated, you know, this season, but just overall, like, before he was injured, he was top five in the NFL in quarterback rating. He was way more efficient. The interceptions were down. What do you think of Jameis? Like, is he a sleeper candidate to get back into that top 12 discussion? Or is he someone that you just say, you know what, he's going to be really good, but not good enough to get to top 12. But like, if he's your second quarterback in a two quarterback league, like, you're probably feeling good, especially because we'll talk about it when we get to the receivers. But this is probably the most deep receiver room the Saints have had, at least since Michael Thomas has been there.
So I don't think Jameis is a sleeper to finish as a QB1, a fantasy QB1. I just don't think there's going to be enough volume for that to happen. But I actually do think he's like a pretty solid fantasy QB2 this year. Michael Thomas is coming back. I doubt Alvin Kamara gets suspended. Like, I've listened to Jeff Ratcliffe talk about this several times, and just like, obviously, none of us are lawyers. We're not in tuned with what's happening on the Kamara case. But given the history of how these things usually play out, it doesn't seem like a Kamara suspension would come until next year. So, like, the Saints should be running at full speed. They drafted Chris Olave. Like, they have a good defense. So, in terms of scoring potential, I do think we'll see like hyper efficient Jameis again. Like maybe not a lot of pass attempts, but the touchdowns aren't going to be bad. He played 7 games last year. He had 14 touchdowns. He threw 5 of them in one game and 4 in another game, which is just wild. But he only had 3 interceptions. Jameis, known as the 30 for 30 guy, I think those days might be done, or at least gone in New Orleans. Like Jameis, as we remembered him from his Buccaneers days, I just don't see that happening with the Saints, because the Saints have a really good defense.
Yeah.
The Buccaneers had like prime Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and were losing by 20 points every game. And Jameis would, throw an interception every other drive.
And Bruce Arians was there, who just his MO is just throw the ball down the field and ask questions later. Like,
yeah,
the Saints, since Dennis Allen is, because you remember, like, the Saints were the team you go into a week for DFS or whatever, and you see the Saints on the schedule, it's, stack that game, because their defense was historically bad for a couple years. Then Dennis Allen turned this defense around, and they've been incredible the last, like, 4 or 5 seasons. We know what they've done against the run. They've been, like, the league's premier run defense right there with Tampa Bay. But coinciding with Alvin Kamara becoming one of the best backs in the league and having a really good defense, the last 3 seasons, the Saints are sporting the 7th highest run rate in the NFL at 40, just over 45%. Mm-hmm. They're 4th in rushing attempts per game in each of the last 2 seasons. So you look at that, and it's like, I think people would be shocked to hear this. Jameis Winston averaged 20.2 passing attempts per game last season. Like, we're used to Jameis throwing 35, 36, 37 times a game.
It's so low.
Right. And
I think Jameis, if every week one starting quarterback plays all 17 games, I think Jameis ends with the fewest pass attempts. Maybe Marcus Mariota, if he plays all 17 games, which seems probably unlikely. Maybe Marcus Mariota throws fewer. But, like, I just think the Saints passing volume last year, even though Sean Payton's not there this year, I think that remains. So I don't think you can project Jameis for more than, like, I think 500 pass attempts might be, like, his ceiling.
I mean, like, 20.2 passing attempts per game, like, that's, like, unheard of, unspeakably low. Like, he's not going that low again.
He won't go that low.
Especially because, like you said, like, he had a lot of games where he threw touchdowns on short passing attempts, and a lot of them were deep touchdowns, so he didn't have longer drives in those games.
He might not go that low, but I don't think he goes up to 30. I think he stays at like 20.
Yeah, if the Saints defense, because like the Saints lost Marcus Williams, but like they brought in Tyron Matthew and Marcus May at safety, so their safety duo is still pretty good. You still have Lattimore at corner. You still have Cam Jordan on the like their defense is still going to be good. So unless their defense just completely falls apart, and that was the other thing, like when Jameis was healthy, they were still throwing the ball like 20 times a game. And remember, this time last season, Tony Jones was kind of hyped as the backup running back to Alvin Kamara. He got hurt. They had nothing behind Kamara, and their defense is great. And obviously, Michael Thomas wasn't there, so they had a lot of question marks at receivers. So we saw Alvin Kamara get like 25 carry games, which we had not seen from him before throughout his career. So it was just a weird season for the Saints, because obviously then you had, when Jameis was out, you had Taysom Hill at quarterback. You had Ian Book at quarterback, which was terrible. So, like, that's the other thing, too. Like, Alvin Kamara had, like, 4 or 5 different games of 20-plus rushing attempts, like, whereas he's always been in the 12 to 15 carry and 8 reception type of workload. So, like, with the receivers they added with Olave and Jarvis Landry and having Michael Thomas there, you could make the case that, okay, let's throw the ball a little bit more because we actually have consistent receivers. But at the same time, with Dennis Allen there and what Carmichael's done with Peyton the last couple of years, like, if they had a completely new offensive coordinator, I might be more willing to say, yeah, maybe they throw the ball a lot more. But it's the same, even though Sean Payton's gone, it's really the same regime in New Orleans.
It is. I'll say this about Winston. I think he finishes pretty safely somewhere between, like, QB 18 and QB 24. I think he's going to be a perfectly fine second quarterback that you can draft really late in your draft. I do think where he's being drafted is fair, though. So I don't necessarily think he's like some amazing draft value. His ADP is right around QB 20, which is right around where I think he'll finish. I think we see a season where Winston throws for maybe 3,700 yards and 25 touchdowns, which is, it's like meh, right? It's like Mac Jones mm-hmm. level, Zach Wilson level.
And I think the interceptions, like, he's he's going to throw more interceptions, obviously.
I think they're down, though. I think he'll throw like 12.
That's the thing. Like, you look at the system, and now you have Michael Thomas gets open very fast. Jarvis Landry, separator. That's Chris Olave, really good separator.
Really good receivers, dude.
So, yeah, those receivers are all going to be getting open and creating separation. And, like, Jameis, during his time with Tampa Bay, was throwing the ball down the field, contested catch opportunities for the receivers. Look at his couple seasons, 2016 to 2019, Jameis was either first or second in air yards per pass attempt in every season during that span. Last year, he still took occasional deep shots. He averaged 3.1 deep attempts per game, but his air yards per pass attempt was at 8.3, and like I mentioned, it had been over at least 10 every year of his career prior to last season. So the air yards per pass attempt went down. I think it stays in that 7.5 to 8 range this season with those receivers. So I think the efficiency, again, not to the level it was last year where he was first in terms of fantasy points per dropback, but we will continue to see a lot more efficient Jameis in this offense with these receivers.
I'll say this. There is a world in which we're just like totally wrong about Jameis, and the Saints do just let him unleash it.
Yeah.
And
if that's the case, he can easily be a top 12 quarterback.
Yeah. And I have not really given much thought to that world, but maybe we're like putting a little too much stock into the low pass volume from last year where like the Saints receivers were,
it was Callaway as their
Marcus
one
Callaway and then Deontay Hardy. Like this has gotten a really big boost. So honestly, like
this is the best group of receivers the Saints have had since Marcus Colston years where they had like Colston, yeah. Jimmy Graham, Devery Henderson, like Landry,
Thomas. I mean, it's not crazy, dude. I guess Winston does have a higher ceiling than I've thought. I mean, now that I'm talking about it out loud, like, it would not shock me if the Saints just kind of went, like, just threw it a lot more next year. I mean, Winston had 625 pass attempts in 2019. And then he really hasn't played, he's played only 11 combined games since then. And, you know, one of those seasons was behind Drew Brees. Like, Winston, he can sling it, dude. He can still sling it. I'm getting hyped. I'm talking myself into Winston more. I'm gonna
draft Kamara. Kamara had a career high in carries last season with 240, and he had six different games with at least 20 carries. Like, I don't know if he even gets one game with 20 carries this season because that's just not what they've wanted to do with him.
I'll say this.
Still have a competent backup in Mark Ingram.
I think you're right about this. I'm gonna give away a little bit of Jeff Ratcliffe's projections here.
Okay.
So Kamara played 13 games last year, 240 rush attempts. Jeff has him projected for only 188 rush attempts this year.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, yeah, you're right about that.
So yeah, Jameis to me is like in that quarterback 16 to like 20 range right now. Like he's right there with like Trevor Lawrence, Daniel Jones. He's in that range for me. And if the passing volume, again, it's not going to be 20.2 passing attempts per game. In the year 2022, that's not going to happen for any team, I don't think. Is it going to get to like 32, 33? I don't know. I think it's like, it could be anywhere between like 26 and 30 something. But like the efficiency, again, maybe not to last year's extent, but I expect him to still be relatively efficient because of the receivers they have now. But let's talk about Alvin Kamara because his ADP has kind of been interesting because there's been concerns about a possible suspension. But like you kind of alluded to, it seems like he's going to play for most, if not all of the 2022 season. He's been interesting because like, he's not a first round, player right now, like suspension or not. He's just not like that's. What it comes down to is the passing role, because there was that stretch where he had, 81 receptions in three straight seasons or whatever. And then last season, he was used more between the tackles, getting carries and not as much in the reception department. What do you project for Kamara this season? Because, again, it was just a weird season. Career lows in catch rate, targets, and receptions last season. The impact that was felt when without Drew Brees, like clearly Drew Brees has been one of the best quarterbacks, A, in the NFL's history, just overall, but B, in terms of, targeting the running back position. It's been massive. Then there was the six games that he played without Taysom Hill. He averaged around six targets per game, which is still pretty good, But then he only averaged about 4.5 with Taysom Hill. So, like, it was just a weird multiple different styles of offense from the Saints. Yeah. But what do you expect from Kamara in 2022? Because I'm fine drafting him in, like, the late second, third round. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't feel anywhere near as confident as I had been with Kamara, just on a per-game basis, you know, in terms of usage and role, than I had been the past couple of seasons where he'd been getting 80 receptions and a ton of touchdowns and efficiency. Like, he's going to be efficient. He's one of the best running backs in the league still, but I don't think he's an elite RB1 like he had been, more of a high-end RB2.
Yeah, I don't think he's an elite RB1 either. I agree with you on that, but I do think that he's a solid pick at his current ADP. But I'll also preface this, because I do practice what I preach. I don't have a ton of Alvin Kamara, and it's not necessarily because I don't like him or I don't think he's a value. It's because of where he goes. It's like that
Barkley, Aaron Jones, Swift.
It's like that 2-3 turn, right? So it's that 2-3 turn. So I will either probably have already drafted one of those players, or if I like got an early first round pick, I'm taking Christian McCaffrey or Jonathan Taylor, and then I'm drafting like AJ Brown or T. Higgins, or, you know, around where Kamara is going. So that's really the only reason I don't have a lot of him. But I do think if you start your draft with like Jefferson or Kupp or Chase, and then you're back towards like the back end of the second round, I think Kamara is fine to take as your RB1. I do think he finishes as a top 12 running back, especially in PPR leagues. I agree with you, though, that I think the ceiling, like the top 3, maybe even top 5, is probably out of reach, because I don't think he's not going to catch 83 balls again. Like, the Drew Brees days are gone. We've talked about Jameis's, probably having fewer passes to go around. Even if we project Kamara for like a 15-14% target share, that's only 70 targets, right?
Yeah.
And it's just...
And again, he's now...
It's not a lot.
With Michael Thomas, this is the best group of receivers Alvin Kamara's ever played with, by far.
Yeah.
Right? Like, for the majority of their careers, it's been... The Saints offense has been 100 catches to Michael Thomas, 80 catches to Alvin Kamara. That's their offense. Now you have Thomas back and healthy. You have Olave. You have Landry.
Who he reminds me of? I think 2022 Alvin Kamara will be like 2021 Cordarrelle Patterson. I mean, with probably slightly more rushing.
Yeesh.
Patterson was a top 10 fantasy
runner. Oh, you mean in terms of finish? I thought you meant just overall role, because that would be a little disappointing.
No. In terms of finish, like... Patterson had 52 receptions, 550 receiving yards. Like, I feel like that's a pretty safe projection for Kamara. And then Patterson had 600 rushing yards and 6 rushing touchdowns. Like, I feel like that's a pretty fair projection for Kamara too. I do think Kamara will have more rushing yards. So I think he'll be better than Kamara was, than Patterson was. Like, I think we could project Kamara for close to 900 rushing yards. But like, I just don't think that top 5 ceiling is there, I guess, is my point. I don't think Kamara is like Patterson, but I do think like that right, like the tail end RB1 is where we will see Kamara finish this year.
And if there are drafts where he goes and falls to the third round, like, I won't hesitate. Like, that's,
I will draft him there for
that's
sure.
That's incredible value for Alvin Kamara. It is interesting, though, like I mentioned, like, they had Tony Jones start the season as the backup. He got hurt, and then there was nothing behind Alvin Kamara, which is why we saw, I mean, Alvin Kamara averaged 25 touches per game for a lot of the season, like a ton of work. But then in the 4 games he played alongside Mark Ingram, who they obviously acquired before, you know, halfway through the season in a trade with the Texans, he played 4 games alongside Mark Ingram. His touches were down to 16.7, which is, like, I would say a little bit lower than what we've seen from Kamara in the past.
Yeah.
And he only averaged 12.5 PPR points per game in that split. Again, small sample size, but now you have a very competent backup running back in Ingram, who's probably more than a backup in this system, because they will use Ingram. He's obviously very familiar with the offense. And you have Michael Thomas, Jarvis Landry, and Chris Olave. So, yeah, like, Kamara to me is, like, in that RB 10 to 12 range. And it's not,
yep.
It's also not just because, like, I'm lower on Kamara, which I guess I am, than consensus, but, like, I'm also higher on Aaron Jones, Saquon Barkley, who is my RB 9, I think, right now. And then DeAndre Swift. I just think the ceilings, and it sounds crazy to say because we've seen Alvin Kamara be amazing, I think the ceiling
I don't think it's there because the receiving work is not going to be there. Kamara's not going to have like 20% target share. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what he would need to have 100 targets.
And we're not saying he's going to come out and catch like 30 balls this year. No, like, that's not going to happen.
I think he'll catch 50.
Mm-hmm. Which is not 80, what we're accustomed to seeing.
Right. And 50 is great. 50 is, you know, it's great. But like Leonard Fournette is going where in the same range. I think Fournette probably catches 60 to 70. Like,
yeah, 60 might be his floor as long as as long as Rashad White doesn't cut into his role. Like 60 might be his floor if he stays healthy.
But like Leonard Fournette and Alvin Kamara are usually going right next to each other in drafts. I'm drafting Fournette.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. I have Fournette as my RB8, Barkley as RB9, and then I think I have Swift. I think I have Kamara at RB12 at this moment right now.
Yeah. We're not saying Kamara is bad. Like, we're both still projecting him to be a fantasy RB1. It's just he has been a top five fantasy pick before, and he has produced as a top five fantasy player, but that was with Drew Brees, and that was with Drew Brees checking down the ball to Kamara all the time. That's not happening.
I talked about Mark Ingram, who the Saints obviously brought in last season. We saw him start two games with Kamara out of the lineup last season. He averaged over 18 PPR points per game, 20 touches per game in those two contests. He's familiar with the Saints offense. How do you think Ingram projects this season? A, just in the role he's going to have week one, but like, again, we alluded to it, but there's still an outside chance Kamara could miss some games due to suspension or whatever, and they will just clearly give the entire offense to Mark Ingram if that's the case, where Kamara misses any time.
I have drafted I don't even think I've drafted Mark Ingram once, and it's, I guess I'm just like all in on the Alvin Kamara's not getting suspended train, because I think I agree with you. If Kamara does miss time, Ingram becomes a threat for like.
And if he does get suspended, it's
not going to be long.
It's going to be probably like second half of the season, like week 9-10.
Right. I don't think you have to draft Ingram. I would rank him like around RB 60. I don't have my rankings in front of me right now, but I'm sure he's at somewhere in the 50 to 60 range. I guess he's like a fine play if you think Kamara gets suspended. But again, like, it's not like Kamara, like we said, it's not like Kamara's going to miss a lot of time. And Mark Ingram he's old, dude. He's 32 for running back. I guess he's like still fine, but it just doesn't excite me. I would rather draft someone like the young, like Khalil Herbert or Kenneth Gainwell or Brian Robbins, like some of the other younger guys going in that range, even Rashad White, who we mentioned.
Okay. Let's talk about the wide receiver position. Michael Thomas, we have rarely seen over the last two seasons. Ankle injury limited him to just 7 games in 2020. Then he got the surgery very late in the offseason and missed the entire 2021 campaign. And of course, like when we last saw him at full strength, all he did was set the single season reception record, was amazing. That was with Drew Brees, obviously. But like, what do we expect from, like, Michael Thomas is going as a wide receiver 3 right now. And like,
if he's in the 6th round, yeah.
And there's been, obviously it's training camp highlight season, but like, he's looked pretty good. And like, there's a chance that you're drafting Michael Thomas as a wide receiver 3 in August, and he's like a top 15 receiver with relative ease, especially if the Saints do open up the passing game a little bit more. I struggle to find, like, it's tough to project Michael Thomas because when we last saw him was like 2 years ago, really. And that was with Drew Brees. And it's like, again, he has more competition for targets than he's ever had. So how do you project Thomas? Because I struggle. He's one of the players that I really struggle with in terms of where to rank, how to project and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Thomas is really hard to nail down. I think when we did our wide receiver preview early on in the podcast life, I was saying how I actually liked Michael Thomas and I was drafting him a fair amount. And then
I was drafting him so much during that time period.
And then June rolled around and we were supposed to be hyped over like a video of Michael Thomas working out. And I was like, oh no, like, maybe he's still hurt. I don't even think we've gotten confirmation that he's going to play in week one. Right now in half PPR, I have Thomas ranked wide receiver 30. So I mean, I have him ranked as a wide receiver 3-2, but on the whole, I do agree with you that this is, it's hard to figure out what Michael Thomas will be. I think his range of outcomes is like 10th overall to 40th overall. Like, it's just a huge possible range of outcomes for Thomas. Like, what if Chris Olave is great? Michael Thomas is now 29, which is not old, but it's like 29, I think, was Julio Jones's last good season. Like, wide receivers age pretty fast, and Thomas has missed the last 2 years. Drew Brees is not there. I am not as excited about Thomas as I was. I thought that he would like come back fully healthy, whatever this injury is that has lingered for like 2 years now. It does make me nervous. And then, yes, Thomas had 143 receptions, 1,700 yards, 9 touchdowns in 2019. But again, that was a much different offense. Like, I don't even think you can look at those stats and be like, oh, like, that's even remotely possible for Thomas. I think Thomas might break 1,000 yards. And I think he might catch 80 passes.
Yeah, I mean, I would still be pretty surprised if he didn't lead this team in targets.
I think he leads the team in targets, but like, I don't know. I do think his depth of target could increase with Jameis from Drew Brees. Like, he was catching a lot of, he earned the nickname Slant Boy, right? Like, a lot of shorter yardage targets.
Yeah, make no mistake, Michael Thomas can win at all levels of the
field. Oh, yeah, like, yeah, for sure.
Like, I think that notion that he can is just wrong.
It's ridiculous. I actually think that was a byproduct of Drew Brees losing arm strength compared to Michael Thomas's skill set. So I think with Jameis, we could see more Michael Thomas down the field, which would be good for his yardage, but it would, you know, probably hurt his catch rate. Like, there was a point where Thomas would catch, like, he would get 12 targets and he would catch 11 of them. Like, it was ridiculous how many balls he was catching. Man, dude, Thomas is really hard. I would not feel good with him if he was my second wide receiver. Yeah. I would feel fine with him if he was my third.
That's how I feel too. He's currently going as the wide receiver 31. Like,
yeah, right where we have him.
So in that range, Amon-Ra St. Brown, wide receiver 30, would you rather have Thomas or Amon-Ra?
I mean, if I'm to tell the truth, I'll probably draft a little bit of both of them, so I have exposure to both. If I'm doing just one draft, I'm probably drafting Michael Thomas. And I just that's probably just me chasing his potential. That's really close.
Yeah, though. I think it's like really as much as I love Amon-Ra, pretty much more than anybody, if both players like hit their absolute ceiling. And maybe that's a bad example because we saw the ceiling from St. Brown last season, but it was obviously in different circumstances. But, like, I think Thomas would probably have a better finish. But then, like, Darnell Mooney, wide receiver 29, give me Mooney.
I would draft Mooney, yeah.
Elijah Moore, wide receiver 32.
So I have Moore and Thomas right next to each other in rankings. I have Thomas 30, Elijah Moore 31. I would still draft Thomas. That's why I have him over in the rankings. But, like, you could flip those and I wouldn't care.
I actually just moved Kadarius Toney like one or two spots ahead of Michael Thomas the other day. But like, I'm insanely high on Kadarius Toney.
He's
like 31. So I think I have Thomas 32. I have to go back and double check. It's just, this is a crazy time for updating rankings because like, you forget, like you have to move like players that are getting hyped in camp up, like Romeo Dubs and Isaiah Pacheco and you know, Kenneth Gainwell, and it's like, oh yeah, I forgot, like, I have to make, like, you almost forget, like, you move a player up, that means somebody's moving down, like, it's a crazy time. Last one, this one's interesting, too. It's obviously pretty case-specific, but, like, for me, I'm taking the chance on Godwin over Thomas pretty easily.
Oh, yeah, dude. I actually think I have... I forget. I checked most recently my exposure to Chris Godwin in Underdog, and I think I have like close to 50%.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it. If he plays week one, it's like, it's going to be an insane season for Godwin. But like, regardless when he plays, he's going to be like a top 14 receiver, probably even better. But yeah, like Thomas should be in that wide receiver 3 discussion with a chance to get back up to like top 15 status. What about Olave and Landry? Chris Olave coming out of college, I was really high on. Really good route runner, has potential to make plays down the field. Not much after the catch for Olave, but he's also looked really good in camp. Again, it's I feel like most players have been looking good at camp.
Has anybody
like,
not looked good in camp? Not just on this team. Anywhere in the NFL. I don't think so.
I'm trying to think of some just reports I've seen from players or teams that just... Yeah, it's... It's, especially with rookies, like, most of the rookies are going to look good. Like, Burks has looked good. Drake London's looked incredible. And Olave's looked great as well.
Yeah, so Olave, I have him ranked 46th. So, that's technically wide receiver 4. I'm not... I don't know. I just don't think there's enough to really spread around in New Orleans. We keep saying this, but like Kamara will get targets. Michael Thomas, we both agree, will probably lead the team in targets. Jarvis Landry, I think, will see more targets than people realize. Like, I don't know. I don't know who I would compare Jarvis Landry to, but he kind of just seems to be like everywhere he goes, he's underrated. Like,
yeah, he's had at least a 23% target share in 5 straight seasons. Like, he's not likely to get there this season, but yeah, like he, like Miami was,
that's
different.
A really good stat, dude. So 23% is really good. For comparison, that's where Jamar Chase and T. Higgins were last
Miami,
year.
The Miami thing was like, he was getting like elite target numbers in Miami. And then Cleveland was good too, but a lot of that, Odell Beckham missed a handful of games. So it's like, he is good. I think Landry caps out as a flex option. I think Olave caps out as a wide receiver 3.
I think Olave scores more fantasy points than Landry, but I think that they're going to be like close to each other, and I think they're going to eat into each other's projections. Like, if you really love, really, really love Chris Olave, then like you probably also just think that Landry will kind of be a non-factor. But like, that's 4 players: Kamara, Olave, Landry, and Michael Thomas. Jameis Winston is not going to be able to support 4 fantasy relevant receivers.
Yeah, and like Tampa Bay's offense, he supported like 3, but that was 40 pass attempts per game. Right. Like if he were to throw the ball a lot, he could support all 3 receivers. He's
But if he only throws the ball 28 times a game, forget it.
Right. And I don't think he's going to throw the ball enough to be able to support all 3.
Right.
But just in a vacuum, if they did throw the ball out, he would be able to. I have no doubt about that.
So Olave is going in the same range as like Claypool, Christian Kirk, Garrett Wilson, DeAndre Hopkins. I would rather draft, I think, all of them over Olave, but I'm not
drafting Hopkins. That's the only one I definitely, like, I have no interest in drafting Hopkins.
Well, I do.
It's just tough because like you can't, like you're drafting him in like still the middle rounds and you're like, you can't drop him during those weeks. And he's, unless you have a certain setting, like he's not on IR, so you can't put him in an IR spot. So like you have a roster spot being absolutely, you know, you can't do anything. And like, it's different too. I don't want to go too much attention, but like, it's different because if this was like Hopkins from 2 years ago or Houston and Texans, DeAndre Hopkins, where it was like, 12 targets per game, 30% target, but we didn't see that last year. So I'm not even guaranteeing like top 15 numbers when he comes back. That's my problem with drafting Hopkins. Because I don't think he's going to be a top 12 receiver when he comes back, personally. Just because the volume was down last season, he was very touchdown dependent, and now Hollywood Brown's there. Maybe they get more out of Rondale Moore near two. So that's why I'm not drafting Hopkins. But like the other receivers you mentioned, like again, I talk
Robert,
about a lot,
Robert Woods. Would you rather draft Robert Woods or Chris Olave?
I would rather draft Woods and Tyler Boyd. Because I love Tyler Boyd. Of
course, you would find any reason to draft Tyler Boyd.
Claypool's tough because I think Olave might be more consistent. But if Claypool hits in the role I expect him to be in that slot role, I think his ceiling is higher. But yeah, like Olave, as much as I love the player, I actually haven't drafted him a lot either because he kind of goes right in that, like, I think it's right after like the Tony, Devonta Smith, Brandon Ayuk range.
It is.
Right. And like
Alan Lazard, Hunter Renfrow. Like, I've usually already drafted my 4th wide receiver by then.
Yeah, sometimes I've even drafted 5 by then.
Yeah.
So, again, this is more best ball. But, yeah, like, I wish Olave went to, like if Olave was in Treylon Burke's situation right now, he would probably be my number 2 rookie receiver behind Drake London.
Yeah.
I love the player. I just think... Like I said, I think he caps out as like a wide receiver 3. and Landry as like a PPR flex in this offense.
Yep. That's
the
fair.
One thing they don't have to worry about is competition for targets at tight end, because the Adam Trautman hype last year didn't really pan out, was a little bit injured. Right now, their depth chart at tight end is Trautman, Juwan Johnson, who was good and a part of the efficiency from Jameis Winston, scoring a lot of touchdowns on very few targets. And then Taysom Hill is out right now with a rib injury. You know he's going to play at some capacity, whether it's tight end, whether it's in the backfield at times. Sean Payton's not there anymore, so maybe he won't play as much. But, like, I don't know. Like, this is probably the least appealing tight end depth chart in the NFL for fantasy for me.
For sure.
Because, like, even teams that are not as, you know, relevant for fantasy, like Houston, like, give me Brevin Jordan all day. Give me, like, Austin Hooper. I'll even take, like, Greg Dulcich and a lot of those backup tight ends over Trautman, over Taysom. Like, Taysom Hill in best ball is an elite, like, last pick because, like, the outside chance he plays him at quarterback this season, then it's over. Like, he's going to be amazing, but given the fact that he's listed at tight end. But, like, they have Andy Dalton as a backup still, so it's, like, anything to add at the tight end position for the Saints, because it's pretty underwhelming for fantasy.
No, I have nothing to add there. Don't draft a tight end from the Saints.
Fair enough. That'll do it for the New Orleans Saints. Look, it's going to come down to, this team has beaten Tampa Bay very often over the last couple seasons with Brady there, right? Like, they are a talented team. They will be, you know, Tampa Bay's probably going to win the division, but, like, the Saints are going to compete. They're probably going to win 9-10 games, be in that wild card spot in the NFC. And especially if Jameis continues to play like he did to start last season to an extent, like, with the players are getting back from injury, they're going to be a tough team to beat. I'm excited.
The Saints are good, dude. They really are. And I actually think their, like, weird ability to beat Tampa Bay is really hard to explain. I'm guarantee you Tom Brady would have won MVP if he had, like, a half-decent game against the Saints on whatever it was, Sunday Night Football in Week 16.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
So I think the Saints single-handedly won Drew Brees MVP. Or sorry, not Drew Brees. Aaron Rodgers MVP that game.
It's very possible. But like I said, the defense is still very good. Dennis Allen is still calling the defensive plays, and he's the head coach. So, like, their defensive scheme and everything should be the same. Like, the continuity that this team has after losing Sean Payton, you don't see that from teams that lose a head coach that's been a head coach for a team for 15-plus years. So I think that's where the Saints, like, obviously losing Sean Payton, one of the best, you know, play callers we've seen in the NFL, like, that hurts. But, like, all things considering, they're in pretty good shape going into 2022, so it'll be interesting to see how if they can continue to give Tampa Bay trouble. Again, don't think they win the division, but they will be in that playoff mix for sure in the NFC. Tyler, we have preseason football this week. It's like you said, like, as a Bills fan, I hope the Bills just don't even play their starters, especially with only three games. But we're gonna have preseason DFS content at FTN Daily.
Oh yeah, dude, FTN Daily absolutely crushes with the DFS preseason content, DFS content all year long, but especially the preseason content where news is king, and we help you kind of wade through it. So you definitely want to check that out at FTN Daily right now. I think we do have an early bird sale for DFS still happening, but it's limited. Only the first 150 people will get it, and I think we've sold half of them so far. So if you are planning on getting a DFS subscription or interested in one, you should do it sooner rather than later to save yourself some money.
Yeah, I know Walter will be doing the preseason DFS content this preseason, so that's going to be fun. And then for other content, like, throughout the entire season, we're going to have everything you can think of. And coming up the rest of this week, like, I'll be doing the coaching and coordinator series.
I'm doing best picks and worst picks by round. So I've done this a few years in a row. It's always a popular piece where it's time to start prepping for those fantasy drafts, so I will highlight the best and worst picks you can make each round. I think those articles are coming Thursday and Friday.
I'm very interested to read that. So, again, yeah, that's look forward to. The podcast. Jeff Ratcliffe is now doing the FTN Fantasy Football podcast. The first episode of that was, I think, last week. So Jeff's obviously very busy. And how about Scott Spratt?
Dude,
he's now in FTN.
To FTN, Scott Spratt.
Probably should have led with that, but
probably should have. I love Scott. I worked with Scott at PFF.
Yep.
Scott was at Football Outsiders for a while, extremely knowledgeable fantasy guy, data guy, like he can do it all. He does rankings for us, got the rankings up within one day of joining. I think Scott just published, he's going through his top 40 players.
Yep, that was his first article. It's published today. His top 40 running backs in fantasy this season, and there's interesting stats about every single running back that he ranks. So that's up right now at FTN Fantasy.
Adding Scott is just perfect.
Yeah, so it's going to be an awesome season. Make sure you sign up at FTN Fantasy, FTN Daily, and FTN Bets. And subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on iTunes, whatever platform you listen to. Helps us out as we continue to, preview the rest of these teams. I'm also going to be doing a couple podcasts this week. Pat Corain is going to be on from NBC Sports Edge. We're going to do some best ball talk, talking about some strategies, some of our favorite stacks. That'll be Thursday. And I'm excited about that because Pat is awesome to talk to. And look, best ball has been, again, this is an interesting time for best ball too, because we're actually having preseason and we have news. So like adjusting to best ball and doing these drafts, a lot of people debate whether it's beneficial to do drafts early in the offseason or now. And this will be fun now that we have some actionable news. So keep it locked to FTN Daily, FTN Fantasy, and FTN Bets. And of course, on the FTN DataCast. For Tyler, I'm Adam. Thanks for listening. As always, we will see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the FTN DataCast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. And follow the hosts on Twitter at APfeiffer24 and at LochnerNFL.